This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Screencast. Of course, I am Tim Geddes. I'm joined today by the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hello, Tim.
The big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Still can't get into Slack on my phone.
And the nitro rifle looking goddamn glorious, Andy Cortez.
Morph.
God, it's all led to this, hasn't it, boys?
Wow.
That's Andy, this members only jacket. It's so perfect for so
perfect.
Many reasons.
It's just Thank gold, you, man.
We're cosplay.
Just to kind of like, you know, break the fourth wall, I had asked Kevin if he had his big, super reflective kind of
shady
goggle glasses.
Yeah.
The Shady Rays. But they're in his car down at the mechanics and, oh man, I wanted the big things looking like Jubilee out here, but it's all good for
I'm
next
so
time.
I'm so sorry. I failed you.
God, yeah, you look awesome. Of course, we're talking about X-Men 97 episodes 1 and 2. This is the Kinda Funny Screencast. Recently, we've been doing our WrestleMania in review, so you can get all of that on the podcast feed. That is going to end in just a couple short weeks. Two more episodes before WrestleMania 40, and then hopefully we'll have a smattering of screencasts over the next couple months with all the different shows coming out. I don't think that we're going to be doing any weekly breakdowns of things, but I mean, hey, depending on how this show goes, we might need to come back a couple times. You know what I'm talking about? Thank you for all your support with the Kinda Funny membership. Of course, that means you get the show ad-free. You can watch live as we record it. You get daily exclusive Greg Way. Also, you can be a Patreon producer like Carl Jacobs, Kashan Patel, Nathan Lamoth, Karen Lindner, James Hastings, and Casey Andrew. We appreciate all of you so very, very much. We got to get right into it because I want to let everybody know when they announced this a couple years ago, I don't even remember what the event was. It was a Comic-Con or something. And it was that weird thing. We were reacting from home and we didn't get to actually watch the panel. We were just watching like the Twitter updates live as they were coming in. And we're like,
Sister Act.
We're finding a bunch of like the Twitter, like people like taking pictures in the room and like we're seeing concept art and things are being announced and people are coming up with fake shit. And it was like, y'all, they're making a sequel to the X-Men animated series. They're just doing a new season of it, and we're like, there's no way. There's no way that's real. And then it became real. We saw the concept art, and we're like, what? This is going to be incredible. Then we spent the next couple of years thinking about it, and we're like, how is this going to work?
Yeah.
How are you going to make a sequel to the 90s show? Like, how are you just like, no one ever actually watched every episode in order. We all just saw a smattering here and there a million times and kind of put the story together in our minds.
I just remember Apocalypse coming back a lot.
It's like, how are they going to make this work for a mainstream audience? You know, we've seen Marvel Studios make some choices recently, and especially on Disney Plus, like, what's going to happen? And what does this happen?
So are we just going to get into
it? Get into it, Andy.
So,
are you full spoiling?
We're going full spoilers.
Hey, man, full spoilers. As we got closer and closer to it, I was a bit more and more worried with it. Like, am I going to enjoy this like I was thinking I would? Is this going to be just like nostalgia kind of blinding my eyes and, oh, hey, let's give you the theme song and then hope you maybe forget about everything else that maybe is subpar. And this exceeded every expectation I could have possibly had. The art style is fucking phenomenal. This 3D sort of like faux 2D look that they're trying to replicate the old style with. Just a little bit of film grain to make it feel like lived in.
It's old.
Yeah, like this is playing like on an old television somewhere. But making Cyclops awesome. Like it's always been my dream. I was always in such disagreement with you all when we did X-Men in review because I've always loved Cyclops and... Yeah, he wasn't super cool in those movies, but man, I still love him. Like, I think he's just still such a badass. And in this movie, showing his leadership, putting him in cool fight scenes to kind of really show off the fighting kit, watching Storm do awesome things, watching the big change with Magneto, and my goodness, dude, this is way better than I could have ever imagined, and I'm just, like, so locked in for the rest of this adventure.
Greg, what do you think?
I'm so happy you guys are happy.
Like, I just never, I love Spider-Man, the cartoon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you were like, we're going to do a reacts to this, I was like, really? And I watched last night. Yeah, it's the X-Men cartoon. I'm glad. I'm not yucking anybody's yums. Go get them, guys. You know what I mean? Like, I fucking love Ghostbusters. So, you know what I mean? Go. I understand wanting your childhood back. But I was like, I watched two of them and I was like, cool. I'll never watch these again. Like, I'm good. Thanks. I don't need
Holy
this.
Holy shit. I don't know if I've ever been more someone. Surprised. Yeah. Wow.
Huh? I have a fun. I enjoyed the cartoon as a kid. Yeah. But it's just like, I'm good.
Nick Scarpino.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the opposite of what Greg is. I started watching this last night with my wife, and normally I don't do that, but this one, right off the rip, I was like, I'll just press play, and right off the rip, I was like, I'm going to embarrass myself so hard for my wife right now, because this is so pitch perfect that I cannot stop smiling. And I gave her, the entire time I was pausing it and being like, you don't understand how insane this is that they did this. You don't understand that they did this, that they nailed the execution of it on this level, that it far exceeded my expectations. From the grain that he's talking about, the clean art style, the fact that the animation sequences are anime as hell, and they've nailed every single action, all the acting, I thought, the voice acting was great. I love... You know, you see the title, you hear the song for the first time in the very first episode. They've added in Bishop. They've added in Morph. And you're like, that's cool. That's awesome that they added them in. I guess we're going to see more of those characters. Then in the second episode, they redid the title sequence to add in Magneto. And I'm like, these people get it. They just understand what they've got. The way that second episode ends, I mean, we're full spoilers in that. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But holy crap. I'm in love with this. The only critique I have is I just want them all right now. I wanted to stay up till 2 o'clock and watch.
I don't know. I imagine 10, okay. But
the original series had 15, but I doubt they're going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Per episode, yeah.
I'm not sure. I am blown away by this. This is like the most pitch perfect 10 out of 10 thing I can imagine. Not just for like, oh, what this is. It's like, this is kind of the pinnacle of what X-Men can be. Like, I can't believe how good it is from beginning to end. The theme song is... it's so much better than I ever even thought possible. And you guys know how much I care about that shit. They nailed the orchestration, the guitar, the synth. They just went so fucking hard. Why'd they need to add those drums? They added so many drums,
and
you guys.
And added to it. It's a longer theme song,
right? It's so freaking long. And then there's an orchestral version for the ending credits, but the end theme still has them like on the side with their little power breakdowns and like all
like
that
it's
stuff.
It's a little video character select screen.
Oh my God, man. On a nostalgia level, it's just like, yes, this is everything I could have asked for. Watching these two episodes back to back, I was just utterly compelled. Like, the first episode being so action heavy, the best action we've seen the X-Men in ever, across any show, across any movie, like across games, man. Like, this was incredible, showing each one of these characters off, reintroducing us to who they are and why they're important, making Cyclops as cool as we want him to be from the jump. But that's not the end of it. We see him multiple times do things that I'm just like, I can't believe they didn't save that for live action, because that is him blasting himself to move around, him doing the superhero landing, all of that stuff. I'm like, holy crap, I can't wait to see Glenn Powell do this one day, and it's going to be fucking awesome. But then episode two happens, and I'm like, oh, this is what X-Men can be. The writing here, the substance to the story, like the most dramatic monologues possible, because this is a comic book adapted in a medium that it is unabashedly trying to just do the thing it is as perfect as it can. And every single thing that Storm says, Magneto says, Cyclops says, it feels so authentic to who they are supposed to be and how they're supposed to sound. And it's like, how did they do this? I just don't know. And it's because a group of people really cared and had an idea and were like, we're unabashedly going to do that thing. And the updates to so many characters, what they've done with Morph in this is so damn cool. I am so blown away. But the last point I want to make is this being like a legacy sequel thing. Like, we've seen it a lot. Like, Digimon recently did this of like, hey, 20 years later, we're going to make movies and do all that stuff. And there's fun bits, but there's always like, okay, this is fan service-y. The story's not that great. Some moments are cool, whatever. These two episodes felt like a dream sequel movie to the X-Men show. And I don't even think the show, just X-Men period.
Yeah.
And we're getting 8 more episodes after this? Like, that just feels unfair.
I was immediately kind of thrown off and worried when in one of the first sequences, let's play this for comedy, and it's Cyclops going, oh, I guess I'm down now. Not.
It
hits him with the 90s like not joke. Oh, and I was like, okay, like they're playing with that because they know that's such a joke rooted in that time and like nobody says it anymore. But I was still a little bit worried and the rest of the episode just kind of won me over anyway. But yeah, you're right. I loved the performances. I think the only one I wasn't super feeling was maybe Wolverine's.
That's because it is what it is.
He's older now.
I didn't have a problem with him. I had a problem with him in the trailer because there was a couple lines that he spoke that were supposed to be comedic where he sort of has that sort of older slurriness that gentleman of my ilk.
Yeah.
I think in the trailer they like cut up his lines.
Yeah.
Because it's like the line read he had of like, all right, dad, whatever. In the trailer, he said, all right, bub. And I think they just took a bub from a different thing. So his read sounded really well.
Okay.
I was right there with you.
Because I did not think any of them. The only one that kind of threw me off was Rogue, just because I think she wasn't doing the Dolly Parton Southern draw quite as much as I had expected it to. And I had watched a few episodes of the original series coming into this just to kind of A-B comparison. But all of those are very, very minor critiques. I mean, if you go back and watch an episode of the original one, you watch this, you're like, holy shit, what an upgrade.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like driving a Honda from like 1982 and then driving a fucking BMW now. It's
Honda
wild. But any car, yeah, I guess, yeah.
But in every single way, though. Like, I don't think it's just the visual style, the fight choreography, the score itself, using the X-Men theme for the fucking fight scene they had, and having Storm come in, they're just being like, Omega level threat. Cyclops say, give me the forecast.
What? But so to Andy's point, right, the not joke, I was like, oh, that's so hilariously perfectly cringy. And there was a moment where when he's talking to the lady on the treadmill, I think she's one of the senators, one of the Senate.
Yeah, me, right? She's from the UN.
The UN, right. It's all the same. It's all just
bureaucratic.
But there's a moment where he hits
whether you're a local governor.
He's talking to her on a massive CRT. And it's like a 4x3 television. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. They went, and this is me being stupid. I was like, oh, they kept the art style of the original one. It kept everything sort of kind of 90s-esque. And then I'm like, oh, no, wait, this is in the 90s.
Straight up.
This is straight up. That's why we're getting those jokes. That's why we're getting that kind of corny dialogue. But what I really, really like about this is if you go back and watch specifically Storm in the first few episodes, she has that very Shakespearean style to her. And all of that dialogue kind of sticks out like a sore thumb then. Now they have her talking like a regular person, but just in more of a Storm-esque way. So everything is updated and brought up to date. And it matches what I think is the standard of the show, which is the actual, and I hate, it's weird to say this for an anime, but the cinematography. There are shots in this that look like an animated movie. They look like they're straight out of like an Akira or something like that. And the fact that they shot it in the 2:4:0 aspect ratio is very inspired.
I'm
very
blown incredible. Away by the art style. Like we've talked so much shit about the kind of like 3D use in anime and just animated things in general. And this kind of mimicking the 2D look with it, it's like this is the best call they could have ever made. Allows the fight scenes to just go. It feels like they're not held back. It's like they can go do whatever they need to make the fight as cool as possible and show off the power sets that they have. And I'm just so impressed by that because we've seen so many examples of that not being the case. Like even watching What If, we get teases and hints at it every once in a while, but here it's just like they're singing, man.
Dude, if I had knew nothing going into this and you said, Nick, bet money on whether this is straight up traditional 2D art or 3D art, I would have lost a lot of money. I would have sworn this is 2D. I do not see the difference. I don't see any of the 3D. Occasionally with vehicles or like buildings, you'll see that, right? You always do because the shading doesn't work.
Yeah.
But any of the close-up shots, anything in the action, I'm like, dude, they've perfected this style as far as I'm concerned. It does not take me out of this at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only super just accurate to the traditional look, but it also allows for extra levels of shading and depth because that's all just shader work. You're not having an animator having that. That's why like whenever we would watch a TV show and then you would watch that TV show's movie that went to theaters and the budget was higher. We're like, why does this look so much better?
Yeah.
Because the animators were able to add multiple levels of shadows and lighting and, you know, reflections and all this sort of stuff. And with this style, it's a lot easier to do that without, you know, making the budgets go crazy. And of course, there's some people who would still wish that this was like traditional 2D art, and I totally understand that. But I do think that this allows this art department,
bro.
No, but I think it allows this art department to kind of play with more and not have to worry about holding themselves back for certain key scenes.
I think that the, I mean, to your point about like you go to see the movies and like or at like cartoon movies and they always look better or whatever. But the big thing from the 80s and 90s specifically was the theme songs, where it's like you look at the Ninja Turtles theme song and there it is crazy looking. And then you see the episode and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like some of the colors aren't even right half the time for, or that's more Transformers. But like you get
what I'm saying. I was there too, though.
But even X-Men is a perfect example. And like we've seen documentaries explaining the budgets of those things and how those things were made and like a lot of those issues that we've had. But them recreating the intro as hard as they did,
they knew,
and
they
adding,
knew they had
adding all the new stuff, but it feels right when Morph just does like dodge of the thing, I'm like, Morph's never been cooler. All that stuff though, I think was them flexing immediately of just being like, hey, anyone doubting this art style, we can mimic the original to look exactly how you remember it. And obviously everybody's been posting like the comparisons to the original and this, and like you see it and I'm like, I'm blown away by how they were able to replicate the style of the original, where it's like it just looks like the original was turned into 4K, beautiful, right, Dolby Vision, all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's completely recreated. Like it's, and then the whole show looks that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments where there's a moment where Jubilee is talking to, I'm forgetting his name, this newer character, this rich
Sunspot
kid. Is that
it's
him?
Gonna be Sunspot eventually.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay. Where they're outside and it's maybe like a sunset sort of vibe, and they play with the color there as well, where it's like everything's overlaid in this sort of this orangish kind of look. And I appreciate them being able to do that, because normally that may just look the same and they would just change the color of the sky behind them. To try to like convince you of that.
For me, I mean, there's two big visual moments. Obviously, Jubilee and him dancing in the thing.
That was sick.
I was like, this is fucking beautiful.
Breaking it down.
And and then I really loved, and it's such a small thing, one of the close-ups in episode one of Cyclops' face, and you saw his eyes behind the visor.
Sick.
I was like, that's just a insane. Fucking cool thing right there.
That was really, really neat.
His name is Roberto Da Costa.
And I loved the storyline of this, like, the insurrection at the end happening, which like I wasn't expecting them to use the word insurrection, but it's just like so perfect, you know?
But that's the thing, like kind of taking it back to just the global view of what this is. I forgot about X-Men. We've been so deep in the Avengers, Duffy, for the longest time that you forget how hard X-Men can bring it when it comes to like real stories. And I remember I kept turning to Dean. And I was like, this is why X-Men was so impactful for me when I was a kid, because every other cartoon series was like, they were trying to teach you moral lessons, but they weren't about the Holocaust, right? They go so hard in this. And they can, and that's what you can do with this franchise.
I mean, absolutely, and they're doing such a good job with it. I was watching a new Rockstars video, and Eric Foss was bringing up that the original show, they weren't allowed to say Holocaust. Like, they weren't allowed to actually talk about any of that stuff. So a lot of the Magneto storyline was changed, implied, more than it was actually, like, dealing with the stuff. And it's pretty interesting to, like, watch this episode and, like, they're saying the words. You know what I mean?
Well, they're allowed about to say insurrection. Now. Is that why?
Well, no, not so much the Holocaust stuff, but I'm saying,
I think
like,
he makes a reference to like the Holocaust in this one.
Yeah, well, now they are allowed. It was just back then, children's cartoons weren't allowed to do a whole bunch of things, right? But now they are. But I feel like just them being way more.
That tracks.
That 12-year-old Dick didn't really necessarily need that hard.
Head on about it all, I think, is great. And like this bad guy that they have, the Executioner.
Badass.
Are you kidding me? That is the coolest thing ever, man. And like, I just feel like they did such a great job of doing something that like is, on one hand, very easy to get right because it's like, this is just the world we're living in, but it's delicate to have the nuance to like make it actually mean something. Magneto's speech was so good. And seeing him break down, seeing Magneto cry and the rise that he has up, and he's like, he brings up all the judges as well, and he puts his foot over the bad guy. It's like, this is powerful fucking stuff, man. And this is from an X-Men cartoon in 2024. It's the best way to reintroduce the world to the X-Men that we have seen. We've had Avengers, we've had the MCU, whatever. I just am so impressed that the X-Men animated series is back and introducing a new generation to like who the hell they are.
Do you think LeBron James watched it?
I think he will.
I hope so.
I don't understand that reference.
He tweeted out last night.
I have no idea.
He tweeted out last night. How do I watch this X-Men 97 show? I loved watching it as a kid. I saw a bunch of people in the industry replying to him, and some people were like, man, somebody get this guy Google. Like, you just Google that shit. But I hope he watched it. I would love to have a little watch along with him.
He should be on the next episode of the Reacts.
Yeah, we'll get him.
We'll try to get him.
Bronny?
I'll work on it.
Let X-Men.
We know people in Cleveland.
I have ins.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Love Morph turning into all like the fan favorite characters. We get the little Psylocke, you know, we get
the
like,
blob when like, he jumps on the blob.
Dude, the blob.
Yeah, what like, did he say? He was like, when he was running at him, he said something about like belly or bounce or whatever.
And yeah, give me the belly bands or something like that. I know I'm just fucking raving and I don't know, think I'm making any sense right now.
Doesn't matter.
That entire fight scene though, from them jumping out of the jet or being exploded out of the jet, catching
cool.
each
that
other.
That was a dope scene.
Cyclops shooting the beam down.
See you on the
to
ground.
To me, my X-Men, they all come. and Storm's not there. And then the Sentinels start fighting him. They all use their unique moves and like what we expect them to do. They're saying like stupid jokes that are just perfect. Beast jumping in and taking over the Sentinel. It was like, I honestly don't think it could be any more perfect. And then they have the Storm summoning scene to show how fucking powerful she is, saying that she's Omega level. Like, these are all just things that I'm like, you're checking every single box possible here. And then to depower Storm at the end of episode 2, come on, man. Like,
yeah.
You introduce this, like, oh, problem solver. And like, don't worry about it. She got it. And it looked so good. And then just taking it away.
But not only that, from like a narrative standpoint, right? We have that really heartfelt conversation between her and Jean where it's like they're sisters at this point and she's like, I hate to say this, but what if my child is a human and not a mutant? Like, I would be okay. Like, I kind of want that. I wish that for my child.
Why'd you look at me, Greg?
And then been concerned for me with many. What if he's normal?
Yeah. It's not gonna happen in this group. But and then having Storm echo that same sentiment. Like, we've all wondered that through the years, and now she gets to explore that. It's just a very interesting. The show's hitting on a narrative level that I was not expecting it to, but that I should have, because I should have expected it, because we did broach these topics in the original series, which is great.
I've had enough of all this positivity. There's some critiques I have, all right?
Critique away.
It's mainly one scene of, like, how many beignets can these X-Men eat, all right? Because he's making way too many beignets.
Four per person.
They were huge or on a plate, and then he piles the plates on. Beignets are very soft, all right? They would all be compacted and fluffed out. This proves that they don't know anything about Louisiana culture. Thank you.
I think you're right.
I do also really appreciate the jump so quickly into just the casual wear. Like, I did not, like, maybe episode 3 or 4 we'll get a basketball scene, but no, they're like, this, they're 90s as fuck. We're gonna put Gambit in the sexiest thing possible.
My God, it's so thirsty.
And, dude, the relationships that they're building with these characters of like, hey, it's obviously Rogue and Gambit, and like Gambit being like really into her, and he takes his shirt off and he says something and she like hits him in the abs and he just like smiles, and I'm like, we get everything we need to know about them. And then the moments between her and Magneto, I'm like,
dude,
oh,
let's just say this. There's a vibe happening in the mansion.
There's a vibe, baby.
That's all I'll say. Because Magneto came in with like, he's a little lusty. Mm-hmm. He's got a little something to him right now. Those exposed shoulders.
Yeah, dude.
That's a vibe, man.
I just loved all of Twitter being like, this is the sluttiest show ever.
It's
like
so
everybody's just hot and sexy. Man.
Dude,
and
Magneto with the opera gloves that go like just halfway up. I was like, oh, bro.
Nick made a great point. He was like, look, in Professor Charles Xavier's little like school there with all these teachers, like, it's kind of anything goes there, man. Like, everybody's just hot bodies.
What happens in the mansion stays in the mansion.
If it happens, it happens.
And I do also appreciate the kind of love and care put into just the storytelling and mirroring the original series of, like, Jubilee being, like, the ingenue character in the original and, like, having her be the on-the-run mutant trying to figure herself out or whatever. And then now having Sunspot and having Jubilee be there for him. I'm like, this is so cool. And I just feel like it's, like, a great twist on something familiar, but like making it just like a very a great example of a reboot that isn't actually a reboot. Like, this feels like God of War 2018 for the X-Men 90s series, which is honestly the highest compliment I could possibly give.
Agreed. Her being the veteran that shepherds in the new stock or the new people and helping them through this process, is that was a cool scene.
Super rad,
and him being like, no, I don't want that. the same as she would say, you know, when she ran home. I watched Night of the Sentinels part one and part two last night. It's great. It's great. It's great.
More of them.
any final thoughts, boys?
I just wanted to call out, like, I just love the direction they are taking Magneto. As he is, you know, using his magnetism to lift up all of these UN people and the villain, this main villain, I'm just like, here we go. Retreading the same territory. Mm-hmm. Magneto's going to be bad. He's going to kill them all. Oh my gosh, the leader of X-Men's bad, of course. Let's all, everybody, it's the world against the X-Men, against the mutants. And I, it was just such a welcome change. Will he change later on? Will he maybe turn later on? Maybe, but I love that we still had that moment of, you're worried at the end of episode one. Holy shit, Magneto taking over the X-Men? Like, this is bound to be a disaster. And I just love seeing that moment of him reflecting and really cherishing Charles's words and their friendship and the power behind that and being like, we are all one world. Look at all that down there. Like, we are way smaller than we think we are. Ugh,
so many great moments. We had a great moment with him and Rogue where he's like, I used to wear this because I wanted to keep, like, Charles's, like, voice out of my head. But what I was really worried about was, like, I would just feel him, but the love he had for me. And that would, like, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I have to do if I knew he cared for me this much.
Yeah.
That caught me off. That's so good. But that caught me off guard a little bit. Like, somebody's got to
correct me. Well, I think Eric was wrong in that video. I think that thing was that did protect him in the original series.
But it didn't, though.
Maybe not in that one scene.
Because I remember us talking about this in X-Men in Review.
I think that that was a change, I think, only for the movies.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's not the case in the comics.
In the animated, in the comics, he just wore the helmet because he liked the way it looked.
It's dope.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Fashion over function.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, that last scene was amazing to me as well. But I love the last line that he says, where he says, don't make me disappoint you.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Dude. Like, just straight up, I'll pull the trigger if I have to. And you're like, oh, yeah, man, that's so good. And the voice actor, shout out to the voice actor for Magneto. Because he is great.
And then we get the little end, little cliffhanger there. It's like, who could this be? I wonder.
Wait, what? Oh my gosh, yeah.
Jean Grey walks in.
Oh, yeah.
There's another Jean Grey.
What's going on with that?
Mystique, right?
Is it Mystique?
Right.
Oh, shit. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's...
Maybe. Well, and also the fact that they had the kid, right, who is going to turn into
some fun stuff here, baby.
Some fun stuff later, yeah.
Oh, man. Let us know in the comments below what you're thinking about X-Men 97. Is it Mystique? Is it someone else? What's going on with the kid? Whatever you want.
Where's Basketball Boy?
Where is Basketball Boy?
Blink.
When you saw the basketball stuff, I was freaking out. I was like, here they are playing basketball. Are we getting our moment?
This is what they do, man.
But until next time, have an excellent day.